Welcome to Startup Nation Voices, a podcast of Startup Nation Mentorship and the World Jewish Congress. Startup Nation Mentorship pairs extraordinary college student leaders with top Israeli industry and government mentors. We currently operate on 20 campuses in 6 continents and enable students to develop meaningful, lasting relationships with Israelis who are in the center of the dynamic global economy and hub of innovation. In Voices, we bring on top Israeli and international leaders to share a deeper look into their industry and personal background, exploring the importance of mentorship and partnership with Israel.
It is such a privilege to welcome Dani Aronovitz to this week's episode. Dani is a vice president at Insight Partners and heads Insight in Israel. Following various experiences in private equity early in his career, Dani moved to Insight, where he began in the New York office before moving to Israel to open Insight's second headquarters. 13 investments later, Dani continues to guide the company through the international landscape. I'm Ilan Arnowitz, Director of Mentor Relations and a senior at the University of Michigan. Dani, thank you for being on today. It's really exciting to have you.
Pleasure to be here, Ilan. I've been following a lot of your different sessions with many distinguished guests, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. We're really excited, and I know the listeners are too. So tell us about yourself, Dani. Throughout your undergrad at NYU, you gained experience working at different private equity shops. You then went to Insight New York out of undergrad before moving to Israel to open Insight's Israeli office. What was it like opening Insight's office in Israel? Why did Insight choose Israel as its second headquarters of all other places?
Yeah, so the background on me is I went to NYU Stern for undergrad and grew up in New York, so I've been in New York my whole life. And really started to get deeply ingrained in obviously finance, getting a background and an undergraduate degree in finance there, but really figuring out in the kind of 2011-2012 period that technology was changing the world. It was touching almost every single industry, every single vertical that you see. And I realized if I wanted to be in finance, I had to be touching technology to some degree. I didn't want to be pigeonholed into some other vertical that ultimately, you know, I would maybe limit my career in the future. And I started to do a little bit more research on what were those opportunities that would combine both the fields of finance and getting involved in touching technology. And I realized very quickly that you have to kind of get to the venture capital, private equity world, and figured out that that's what I wanted to do. So I actually had the lucky opportunity to be roomed with an entrepreneur. And so spent 2 years at NYU living with the CEO of a couple of companies, one in tech, one in publishing, and ultimately had a good chance to informally advise him and, you know, hear a lot of the challenges that he was going through and watch him succeed and go from milestone to milestone and you know, kind of see the hiccups and successes of an early stage startup. And I thought it was really exciting. But obviously wanted to get more on the financing side of things for now, and really excited to have landed the opportunity right out of undergrad at Insight for a summer internship. And it's been a tremendous 6 years ever since, just been working on some of the most innovative companies and investments all around the world. But obviously Israel in the more recent years has become a big focus for Insight. And now I'm kind of leading the effort on the ground here in Israel and in our new Tel Aviv office.
Amazing. That's a fascinating story. And I guess that's a reminder that all good things do start in a college dorm room, right? You look at the most successful startups, it's really interesting to see the serendipity that's created in college being surrounded by other like-minded individuals. So why did Insight choose Israel as its second headquarters, right? Of all other cities in the world, it chose Tel Aviv to open its next office. Walk us through that thought process.
Yeah, and absolutely. So, you know, when you think about Israel, we were touching Israel going back to the early 2010 period, made a couple of investments, the big one being Wix in 2013, which we ended up taking public. We did their Series D in 2011. And that really gave us, a first taste for Israel, so to speak, and led us to really understand the strength of the technology, the culture for innovation, you know, the fertile ground for ingenuity that you see coming out of Israel, and really the attitudes that, you know, the can achieve anything attitude that stems from many of the entrepreneurs in the ecosystem. We felt it right away, and we've noticed over time that our value add, particularly around go-to-market expertise and helping on sales and marketing efforts and helping companies around the talent and the hiring, that lends itself very well with the needs of Israeli entrepreneurs and what they're looking for, where oftentimes they have a really strong product R&D team and the technology is rock solid, but they really just need that help. And they're looking for that global partner that could help stand up a US sales team, you know, figure out how to knock on the doors of these enterprises, how to navigate, you know, the kind of bureaucracies within some of these larger corporates. And ultimately, we have this, you know, kind of built out over the course of our history, 25 plus years now, this on-site program, which is now 80 professionals deep, that is solely focused on post-investment activities. And that has really, I think, enabled us to take a step ahead of our competitors and really distinguish ourselves as a preeminent, you know, scale-up leader and investor on the global stage. And obviously, Israel is becoming a larger and larger part of that, you know, stemming from the fact that most of the companies in the high-tech scene are software, enterprise software are most of the deals in the Israeli VC ecosystem that's happening right now. And our focus as software-only investors, especially around cybersecurity, DevOps, fintech, health tech, you know, all of these verticals where Israel shines, we've noticed, you know, they've been able to kind of churn out some of the best companies, best technologies, best leaders, and really at the same time do it with sometimes limited resources relative to their peer set. And that's also a big part of what we've really, you know, grown to love about Israel is the efficiency that some of these entrepreneurs think about first and foremost when they're first spending their initial few millions of dollars on sales and marketing. They want to make sure that it's going to areas that they're going to see, you know, real success and real real advantages from spending those dollars. And so that lends itself with the types of businesses that we like to back, you know, really, really hyper growth companies, but doing it at a healthy clip and making sure that your unit economics underlying everything is very healthy, because that makes for future success. And it helps us as investors envision the 5-year ahead plan and what that will look like from a margin perspective. And, you know, I think it's working itself out to do really well. And the on-site program has really turned a lot of heads in the broader VC world. I think a lot of people are starting to replicate it. And in general, it's going really well with the Israeli companies we're working with. We're getting to step in a little bit earlier stage and help them avoid some of those early pitfalls that they normally would go through in that Series A, Series B stage, where we're now playing a little bit more of a real role.
Interesting. Really interesting. So it sounds like Insight's interest and presence in Israel was a combination of an investment in Wix back in 2010, combined with the insight that Insight had a unique value proposition for the landscape. And then it sounds like what you're saying is this symbiosis kind of snowballed, right? Where one successful investment and partnership led to the next, let's say Monday, which then led to WalkMe. And before Insight knew it, it had a strong presence because of its unique value proposition to help turn startups into scale-ups.
That's right. And there's definitely a strong network that we've started to build out in Israel. And you know, we obviously, you mentioned some of the big names, Monday, WalkMe, the you know, the darlings of our Israeli portfolio, so to speak. And, you know, we realized early on that Israel is, you know, a small nation, 9 million people in total, right? And there's even smaller group within the high-tech industry of people that, as long as you understand who are the ones that are mostly, you know, spending time with the new entrepreneurs on scene, the brightest minds that are coming out of the greatest programs like Talpiot and, you know, Shmona Mataim, 8200, Unit 81, all of these units where our portfolio now, I think we have several, almost a half a dozen or a dozen that, have spent some time together in the Army to some degree. And pretty soon enough, we realized that's why we need man on the ground. That's why we need a real presence, because if you want to capture the best companies in the earlier stages, you can have the proactive outbound approach of an insight where our infrastructure is tremendous and we're building these relationships with companies proactively and staying in touch. But the new market, the new scene is moving so quickly that you're going to be left behind to some degree, with this new preemptive nature of how the different deals are being initiated and catalyzed. And if you're not on the ground and able to move quickly, then you're going to be left behind and not being able to get a part of the story of these great next innovations that are, future category leaders, which are the ones that we're trying to back. So we realized very quickly, we have to both have that network, that strong network, which comes from the portfolios that you're backing and making sure that you're leveraging them as best as possible. But also making sure that you have boots on the ground so that when you get that connection, when you get introduced through your network, through your prior investments, you're there to build a relationship with the entrepreneur and let them know that you're there to work with them, figure out when the right time is to get involved and just be as straightforward as possible. And I think one of the big things I noticed so far in my 15 months on the ground in Israel is everyone really appreciates the straightforwardness of the way that we go about our business, the quick nature that we can move in terms of getting deals in front of them once we meet them. And, just having the ability to act swiftly and decisively is very important in the venture capital world. And so I think that's one of the things that have really differentiated us, in addition to the fact that now we have, again, this strong network that we're building through our portfolio and through investors that we're working with and following on into their seed in earlier rounds.
Right. This topic of boots on the ground has fascinated me, because recently we're in an age where you can't have boots in the ground, right? Everything is done virtual. And so I'm curious, and I'm going off script here, but I'm just so fascinated. How important is having boots on the ground in today's age, right? Where many more and more investments are being done without the investor actually meeting the founder, and it's being done virtual. At the end of the day, is it still vital to have that in-person connection, because that's where the strongest relationships are built? Or are you seeing a shift towards being virtual, where boots on the ground are not as important anymore?
It's a great question. And I think we made the decision to come to Israel before COVID. And I think we got here just in the right nick of time to build a pipeline and execute on those deals over the course of the early period of COVID, where we could finish the transactions over Zoom, but we had that initial base, we had that initial meeting to feel comfortable ultimately wiring that money and making that investment. And in general, I think most investors feel comfortable really meeting the entrepreneur in person. I think that goes a long way, and it's something you can't really replace. You have to make adjustments, obviously, over the course of 2020 that a lot of investors have. There are certain cases where I would do whatever I could, whether it was a coffee meeting outdoors, just far away, 6 feet, making sure that you're staying safe, but you're still getting that interpersonal connection, and you see that they're a good person, and they're trustworthy, and you can go ahead and feel comfortable, kind of checking the last box, so to speak, right? But to some degree, I think that we're headed for, and I think a lot of the activity in 2020, which we saw in Israel, I know most funds reported even more activity than a normal year, which is interesting to note. And I think part of that is Israel has gone about business to some degree in the high tech scene in a normal way during times that are not shut down. So my co-working space, there's been a lot of activity, when people can be there, people are still working and getting together, obviously with the appropriate precautions, but people are going about business. And I think there's a resiliency in Israel that is very admirable, that I see as is a little bit different than in some other areas of the world. And I think that has lended itself to having the ability for some to make those small meetings when they need to, but do still a lot of the work, the heavy lifting over Zoom and remote. And I think we are headed to a place where it's more of a hybrid environment where you have maybe less personal interaction, but ultimately you're still going to be having, you know, once in a while that you want to have that in-person meeting. You want to build that trust, and you want to establish that partnership that you're going to be entering into. So it's going to be a combination with, I think, Zoom and some of these more, you know, kind of digitization, you know, forced upon us. I think that is definitely going to be a part of life that stays to some degree.
I personally agree with you, right? This hybrid nature of not being able to completely eliminate in person, but also using virtual and Zoom as a supplement. So I'm very curious to see how that unfolds as well. Donnie, there's been a lot of talk recently about Israel, not so much as a startup nation anymore, but more as a scale-up nation, right? It's said that Israel now has the more unicorns per capita than any other country in the world. What role do you think Insight in particular has played in the transformation of the Israeli startup landscape? And what factors do you think have allowed Israeli startups to scale so effectively?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And this is a topic that we've at Insight been spending a lot of time on and researching, because we have noticed that, you know, Israel, for so long being known as a startup nation, now is emerging as the scale-up nation, as you said, with businesses really being globally minded from day one, right? Like, their startups are graduating to be enterprise-ready scale-ups much sooner than in other international hubs that we see. And I think, you know, that's also a big part of why you see an outsized level of VC investment on a per capita and even a percentage of GDP basis, where Israel is way ahead of its peers. But I think what we see as Insight and playing a role in all of this is, you know, obviously when these larger funds come and are a part of these negotiations and discussions, you know, it's going to make it more competitive. And I think, you know, there's a lot of our peers that would say the, you know, 2020 was a bit more competitive, not just from Insight's entrance into the market, which definitely added to it, but, you know, a number of other of our competitors, both in Europe, in the US, that are definitely looking towards Israel more often than they have in the past. And in many of them have dipped their toes to some degree with, you know, one or two investments, not the, you know, 15 investments that we made last year, but, you know, they experimented to some degree with a couple of investments over the last 18 months or so. And all of that is contributing to this really fast-paced transformation into the scale-up nation. And I think, you know, what we're excited about is, you know, we realized that early on, investments in Israel were maybe more likely to be exited at an earlier point, right? So if you go back years, there was a reputation in Israel that companies were selling out a little bit too soon. And you even think back to some of the bigger exits earlier on, like Waze for $1 billion, and think about, obviously, what Waze would be worth today, and if they would have even held out another 5-10 years, right? I think, you know, that outcome could have been even larger, but that was even considered one of the larger outcomes at that time. And we noticed as a firm, and this is part of the reason maybe why we only decided to come here in end of 2019, early 2020, is the exits have started to shift upwards, and companies are now staying independent a lot longer and more comfortable, realizing that there's, you know, with the influx of whether it's VC and private capital, there's opportunity to stay private a lot longer and go at it yourself independently. And there's a sense of enthusiasm amongst a lot of the employees and just the dedicated workers in R&D and technology and sales and marketing, customer success, all of these different you know, employees that really want, you know, they build a culture in many of these companies. They do a good job of that. And I think a lot of the employees want to see the company go by itself towards the ultimate outcome and try to get there with just the, you know, the work from the employees and all the venture capital funding that helps sustain that right along the way and the growth. But in general, I do think that we're seeing a very, very transformative time for Israel. And it's very, very positive to see it reflected not only on technology, but it's trickling down into other industries. I mean, just walking around Tel Aviv every day, I am just amazed at the level of cranes and construction that you see everywhere. You know, any direction you turn, you can see construction going on. And a lot of those are going to be supporting the future companies, you know, the commercial real estate for the future startups that are going to be built in the region, right? And so you can see technology really impacting the economy. And I think when it comes to the scale up question, it has, especially this, you know, the last 12 months or so, it has supported the ecosystem and the economy very, very well. And, you know, who knows what the numbers would be if it weren't for the effect of technology, if it weren't for some of these companies and some of the hiring efforts of these companies along a period where we saw the economy shut down in some industries. So it's great to see technology really touching, you know, all parts of life. And, you know, I'm just really proud to be the center of it. And really at this perch where I get to kind of see a lot in the software world in Israel and try to just work with the best of the best and as it relates to innovators and entrepreneurs.
Amazing. So it sounds like what you're saying is the explanation for the transition to a scale-up nation is a combination of a change in the sentiment of the startups where now they have the will to stay private for longer, which made way for a firm like Insight to come in and help them go longer. But let me ask you, is the reality of a scale-up nation all positive? Is there any merit to the complaint that large multi-stage funds coming into the industry is bad for the ecosystem as it inflates company valuation so much where local players can't compete? You started talking about this. I would love to just dig deeper.
Absolutely. It's a great question and something I think about very often as I talk to my peers in the industry that are focused entirely on Israel and might be a little bit smaller than an Insight. And it's something that I think is definitely a byproduct of going, you know, bigger and becoming more of a scale-up nation and having these global funds step foot and really start to focus more and more on the area for investment. And I think ultimately there's always positives and negatives. It's always a balance in everything in life. And you know, the benefit that you see, I think, outweighs some of the potential you know, problems that come with it, right? And I think seeing all the multinational tech corporations have set up offices here in Israel with large footprints, you know, just them recognizing the high quality of talent, particularly around research and development, you know, that's another testament to recognition that Israel, you know, it has emerged, right? We're on the global stage. There's definitely a need for all corporations of larger size and all sizes to come here and make sure that they're not missing out on the talent and the opportunity in the region. And you know, I think being a part of the VC world and you know, the financing behind some of these companies that are going to hire tens and hundreds of employees every year, it's really, you know, I think it's a net positive to many, many levels. And there's just, I think, a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and optimism that I have and that I know a lot of the people of this country have for the future because of, you know, the strength of Israeli technology on the global stage has been recognized, but it's being more prominently recognized every single day. And, you know, they think being a larger fund and having some of the deal flow come from outside of Israel, you know, definitely has impacted some of that to a real positive.
Amazing. And I completely agree. That seems to echo the sentiments that I've heard from talking to people, to local funds, that it really is a net positive on the industry. Donnie, I could keep picking your brain for hours, but I just want to ask this one last question in the few minutes we have left. On a more personal note, what was the transition to Israel like? Was it challenging being in a new country away from family and friends? And what advice would you give a listener who's thinking about making Aliyah?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously professionally, it's been really fascinating and really rewarding. But thinking about my wife and my daughter, who's now a year and a half, we moved when she was just a few months old. So it was a big transition in our life. But we recognized that there was a lot of Americans that we weren't necessarily familiar with, but that we would be able to become friendly with in addition to a lot of the native Israelis who we've met in our social and our day-to-day lives. And, you know, it's been really, I think, a seamless transition for us as a family, because we have this community in Tel Aviv where we live, where it's, you know, very young, professionally oriented, a lot of young couples that have, you know, their first child or maybe they have a couple of children, but they're starting out, you know, they're kind of, you know, within their first 10, 15 years of their professional life, kind of a similar stage to us. And everyone is very warm and welcoming. So we feel a really good sense of community that I think is something that we didn't expect so quickly in our time here. And my wife is definitely very, very happy. There's, you know, the beach a few minutes away from our apartment, so we have the chance to take a breather and just, you know, take in the ocean air and the sea air whenever we really want to relax and just, you know, take some family time away from work and get our minds clear. So there's a lot of positives here that we're very, very thankful for. And I think ultimately, you know, we see the path being a little bit scary up front. And I could, you know, I could sympathize for some folks that are doing the calculus now on whether it makes sense to move to Israel and try it out. You know, it's hard to leave friends and family. I left my family and friends behind, where most of them are in New York. That's the hardest part, most definitely. But at the end of the day, again, you know, we're all kind of thrust into this situation now where we're living in a digital Zoom world. And, you know, I think it makes it a little bit easier to swallow being far away, and just hoping for the times where we can take normal trips back and forth and visit family so that we can, you know, make sure to get all those important times in. Right. But overall, we're very, very happy with the transition, and we recommend it for anyone considering it, just because Israel is a tremendous country. Feel very safe here. And there's, you know, whether you're living in Tel Aviv or one of the suburbs outside of Tel Aviv, there's just a great vibe overall in the center city when, you know, people are going to work every day in normal times and people are just eating and breathing technology in the center of Tel Aviv where I work. And it's really a tremendous place to be based right now. And we couldn't be more thankful.
That's great. I'm happy to hear that the adjustment has been smooth, and I know our listeners appreciate that advice. Donny, thank you so much. Like I said, I could keep picking your brain for hours, but we will stop here. This has been incredible, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you next time we visit Israel. Thank you so much, Donny.
Yeah, a lot of fun, Ilan. All the best. See you soon.
Take care.